Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you. Hopefully we'll have enough of the poems. If we don't, we can share.
If people can share, that'd be helpful.
And Margaret, while you're passing that out, I will introduce you. Margaret is the proud mom of a two-month-old baby, Zach. And she and I, along with Kelly Mercer and Tracy Nichols, put together this presentation and did some really interesting and kind of different research from what we've heard earlier today, looking at the African-American teen mothers and their birth experiences. So we will get going. Come on up. And Margaret's also a second-year DRPH student with an MPH. And what else can I say about you? Lots of wonderful things. So you can stand right here.
Stand there. I'll stand right here.
Okay. We have no financial relationships to disclose.
None.
We are poor graduate students. Let's see here. A little bit of background on the project. Do you want to give that?
You can do it.
Okay, so truth be told, this project actually was a part of a qualitative analysis class, and our professor, Dr. Nichols, does extensive work with the YWCA in Greensboro, North Carolina, with a teen mom doula program and teen birth education program. And so we, as students in this qualitative class, did everything from the transcripts, coding, analysis, and that's kind of how we got here. And the thing that we found, even in doing our lit review, is that there was very little literature out there to look at the birth experiences of teen moms. And so we thought this would be a good idea for a presentation.
So this is what we're aiming to do. We're going to awkwardly switch back and forth here. But to really examine the birth experiences of these teen moms who participated in this childbirth education program. If you notice on the previous slide, the YWCA offers these free childbirth education classes, not just for teen moms, but even moms into 20s and 30s. And so we have this really special subgroup. And these women who have all this education and experience, hopefully, in terms of, you know, working with doulas and working with people from the local hospital to actually come and talk about the birth experience and being pregnant and what to expect. And so what we did was we took the transcripts and we wrote stories from those transcripts, and we'll get into more detail in just a minute. Then we compared those stories to find this common narrative across these teen moms, and then to look at factors that were associated with what variation we saw from those stories. And this is a little bit about the design. And for those who are familiar with qualitative research, it's very iterative. You're super cyclical, constantly going back and forth. And so we always talk about the sort of hourglass figure. And this isn't an hourglass specifically, but it still has that kind of shape. But we started fairly broad with a full transcript. We got a little more narrow with the story. And then what we did, our professor actually has this great gift for writing poems. And she took those stories and generated poems from them to really crystallize that experience that these moms were having. And then we went back to the story, and then it kind of goes back broad to checking with the transcript and things like that. And so you can see that's the process that we went through. I find the visual on the left much more helpful than sometimes the text on the right, but we all have learned differently. And so you can read what we also did here. And then as we're analyzing the poem specifically, we're looking for these typologies that we had come up with previously from a lot of our literature research, looking for agency, empowerment, support. And then ultimately you'll see we kind of changed some of those terms a little bit and came up with four typologies in the end with our analysis.
And one thing to add to that is that, I'm sorry. Thinking about kind of the interview process, so most of them, I think, were about 4 to maybe 8 weeks after they gave birth. And this is a list of our participants. And What's that? Oh, yeah, and these are not their real names. We gave them these names, but they were kind of similar to their original names. But I was thinking about the transcript process, and what was important to me was that as a group, we analyzed the transcripts. And so these transcripts were, questions where an African-American researcher asked the teen mom, tell me about your birth experience. Take me through that. What did that look like? Some of these transcripts were, like 20 pages long. And so from that, we had to go through and pull out anything that was reflective, what we thought was reflective of that birth experience. And the other thing I wanted to mention was with the typology. Those kind of emerged because part of this research from the YWCA, they're really interested in empowerment and support for their program. So through that mechanism of evaluation, we were really interested to see if those themes came out through that process. These are our participants, largely African American, one biracial, a few Caucasian, Latina. Most of them had were first-time moms. I think two of them had given birth before. And this is what we found. There were clearly variations within their experiences and how they described them. And through this process, how many, can we do a raise of hands? Like, how many of you guys have done narrative analysis or you're qualitative researchers? Okay. So did you feel like you really got to know them? I mean, your participants or the stories. And that's how we really feel, too. So I think that's the power of this kind of research. But we also had to do a lot of bracketing in that regard, too. Anyway, so we came up with, these different variations in their experiences, agency, awareness, emotion, connectedness, support, empowered. And one thing to really, I think, that really struck a chord for me was that none of these birth experiences were horrible. None of them. And that surprised me, and I'm not sure why, but it did. So. And do you want to talk about this?
Sure. And so from those we kind of took those variations and then we compiled them into these four typologies, if you will, which are really, they're not mutually exclusive. There's a lot of overlap, and in some ways, one mom's story might have ended up someplace else, if we were to go back and look at it again and again and again, or have different eyes. I mean, it's highly subjective. So we ended up with connected births, disconnected births, surreal births, and then these disempowered births. And you can see on the right-hand side of this table, we grouped the stories right into these typologies based on whether, the type of agency that was represented in the story, or the level of support. Was it high? Was it low? Was it mixed support, high or low agency, or was that also mixed? And also empowerment, where did that stand on the scale? And the way we came to decide was based largely on, how is the mom really presenting this story? Are there lots of I statements? Does she want her family there? Is she happy that they're there? Are they there in a good, supportive way? Or are they there and almost getting in the way? And so is she advocating for herself and actually getting what she's asking for in return? Does she have the sense of agency, and then is it also being fulfilled? And so that's sort of how we came to put them into these groups. There you have it. And then we're going to go through and sort of, you see on the handout, we have excerpts. They're not the full poems, but just excerpts from the poems for each of these typologies, each of these categories. And I believe you have an excerpt from Abriana's story, or from her poem for a connected birth.
Or empowered.
Oh, it says empowered. It says empowered on the handout, but we changed to connected. So clearly we changed it here, but not on the handout. And so, but connected birth, she and all these other moms were very connected to the process. I mean, you could feel it in the story as you were reading it, and then feel it in the poem that it's almost like they wanted to be there. They embraced it fully. They were like, here I am, going to have this baby. We're going to move forward with this. They had high support, or at least mixed support. And so it was easier, almost easier for them. I hesitate to use that word easy, but it's easier for them to move forward with this process.
Yeah. We did this presentation, I think, a week ago. And there were some really interesting discussions that came out about how we use the terms empowered or disempowered and whether we do that, what that looks like. And so that's kind of how some of the changes came about. And I think that one of the things with disconnected births, it was almost as if the teen mothers were not there. And in a lot of cases, they did not want to be there. And I don't know if we'll have time to read the poems, but we have a disconnected birth on the front page from Sierra. And the title of that one is It Was So Exhausting. And in that one, I recall her she wanted it to be over. She's tired.
She wanted to sleep.
Yeah. She just like, get this baby out of me. I want to take a nap. And the surreal births, this was an interesting category. It was almost like they talked about the experience as if they were not there. Or, you know, it was like they couldn't believe it was happening to them. And even though they had gone through these classes, they had, you know, a lot of education and sometimes support, it was surreal to them. Do you have anything to add to surreal?
Really? I mean, they were all surreal in their own way. So if you were to look at all the poems, one might be surreal. And the example that you have here from Tanya, I was shocked. It's so dramatic. And she talks about blood and blood getting all over the doctor and all of these things that it seems like it's this dramatized film almost, as opposed to, I don't know as opposed to what, but as opposed to maybe just grounded, real, I just had a baby, oh my gosh, you know, he or she is now against me. It's much more dramatized, really, which is true for some birth experiences.
Let's see here. So the disempowered births, we came up with this category because a lot of times they had high agency, but for different reasons, their births, and there were only two of them, they were problematic. And it looks like Stephanie is the one that we have on the back of the poem. But clearly, you know, the title is I Needed a Lot of Help. And so she knew what she needed, but it was just a matter of being able to ask for that and then get that at that time. And there were several different kind of roads we took when we were analyzing these, looking at things like support and who is in the room when they're giving birth, what is their relationship, that dynamic. And I think a lot of those kinds of conversations we had were, you know, looking at Stephanie and Josephine and what was going on that was problematic. They could have a whole room full of people, you know, physical people standing, but there were problematic things that came out of the story. So lots of challenges. I think the biggest thing was preserving the voices of the teen mothers and making sure, you know, I'm a mom. All of us were moms, except for one of Kelly's not a mom. But really making sure that their voices, and that's the whole point of narrative analysis and research, came through through this process. So, and I think we did that. We did a lot of bracketing and probably hundreds of pages of memos that will never come. 5 minutes. Okay. Do you want to?
Yeah, I think that's it.
The other thing, I mean, is, you know, if you look at narrative analysis research, this is kind of the funny thing. So we really wanted to get this exemplar study, something that would say, okay, you know, you've done this research and we can kind of follow what, you know, kind of the process. And we found that we couldn't really find anything that fit that for us. And so, and maybe, you know, you all have ideas that we just didn't find. But, you know, this idea of the viability of narrative analysis and what does it mean? I mean, it's going to be hard to publish. It's not generalizable. What do you do with the information? You know, that's kind of, I think, what we were thinking and what we're thinking now, too. But how else are you going to get the stories?
Right.
So.
And they're important.
So, and these are the implications for practice. And you want to?
Sure. Yeah, and so, you know, as far as we can go in terms of implications, you know, as Allison just said, with a process like narrative analysis and with much qualitative research, it's not generalizable. And that's kind of the point, is that we really want to understand this population, this specific group, in more detail and greater depth. But we do have somewhat of this common narrative, if you will, this medicalized birth. Right, and the experiences definitely range on this continuum. However, they were all positive experiences, really, in the end. I mean, I don't think there wasn't a single mom who, said in her interview, wow, you know, this was horrible. I can't believe I have this child, kind of an experience. You know, they were all very excited to have their babies. And quality of support is definitely critical. And we kept coming across this. Support is so important. And I think, as Bridget was just saying in her presentation, support is vital to women who are having this experience. But it needs to be the support that the mom wants and needs. And so the support that, you know, if I had a daughter who got pregnant, you know, maybe I think she needs something, but she doesn't. And so if I give her what I think she needs, that's not very helpful if it's not what she feels that she needs. And then definitely tailoring these childbirth education classes that the Y is offering to not just be about pregnancy and labor and delivery, but to also be about support and to try to figure out a way to bring in the role of the doulas and of the family in terms of support and make that connection with the mom and the people who are providing support so that we can build that relationship. What does that look like? How do we make that happen? I'm not sure. But it's out there.
Well, and the other thing, you know, looking at the program, the YWCA program, they were really pushing the idea of doulas. And only, were two of the moms had doulas?
I think two had doulas.
So two of the moms had doulas. They were asked, you know, and it's outside the scope of this research, but why didn't you have a doula? You know, what would that look like? A lot of them said, oh, I didn't have the time, or it was too late, or we couldn't connect, didn't have a phone.
My mom was my doula.
Yeah, a lot of them said my mom was my doula. So even having the YWCA reconsider what programs they're pushing and why, and are they appropriate for the populations in which they're intended to serve, I think that we need to be asking ourselves those questions as public health professionals and even researchers, like, what does this mean? And I think that within our, you know, mothers, that they, you know, the stories, I don't know if they would have been that different if they had
right,
a doula.
I don't know.
Yeah, we won't know that, but clearly they're not using them. So, you know.
I think that's it. Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thanks.